Good morning. The first lesson is found in Genesis 14, verses 17 through 23. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shava, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 56, verses 8 through 13. "You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose praise and word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is found in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 23. "Glory to you, O Lord." Jesus said, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Welcome, Mike.
Hello. Shepherd family. Morning. All right, kids, come on up. It's children's chat time. Jason! Hey, buddy! Aw, oh, thank you. All right, come sit right here, bud. Come sit right here. And you right here.
Me?
Yeah, right here. No, I need you to stand because you're going to read. All right, guys, welcome, welcome. Come sit here by Jason. All right, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about fear and being afraid. And Elle is going to read a short scripture from our Psalms today.
In God's, what does that say? Woes, right? God, whose word.
It's okay. Just take a breath.
I guess I haven't spoke clearly today. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God have put my trust, I shall not be afraid.
All right, thank you, Elle. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about fear. And this balloon, I know I like to use balloons, they're fun. But don't worry, it's not going to pop. That's not planned. No, I'm going to do it. It's okay. So fear can creep into our lives. Maybe we're worried about something at school, or we are afraid of the dark, or maybe we're afraid people will make fun of us because we know and love God, or maybe we're afraid that God doesn't forgive us. Jason's plugging his ears. Or we're afraid that we've done too much sin for God to forgive us. And before we know it, fear is all we see, and it controls our lives. But the Bible does say that we are never to not be afraid, but it says what we are to do when we are afraid. And Elle just read it, and it's to put our trust in God. And when we do that, we tell fear to flee. Oh, it didn't go very good. All right, so fear has a way of controlling us and manipulating us, and it's not God's will for our lives. So we need to put our trust in Him. Now, when I say, when I'm afraid, everyone says, I will trust in God. Are you ready? When I'm afraid,
I will trust in God.
Now, like you mean it, when I'm afraid,
all
right, that's it. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you so much for giving us your holy word, that when we go to it, when we are reading it, and when we pray, that our fear will go away like that balloon. Lord, bless us today, and we thank you so much for loving us. And all God's kids said, amen. All right, Pastor, I warmed them up for you. Hit them home, huh? All right. Let's go, guys. Go to Children's Church.
Yay. There we go. Thank you, Mike. Always a joy, right? Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are a few things that we don't love to talk about at church, and money is one of them. It seems like we can talk about heaven, we can talk about forgiveness, we can talk about faith and grace and all kinds of good stuff. But when the preacher starts to talk about money and what we do with it, some of us start to get a little uncomfortable. And yet, Jesus talked a lot about money. Why did he do that? Because Jesus knew something that I think that we sometimes forget. He knew that what we do with our money reveals where we put our trust and where our heart really is. That's why today I want to take kind of a different approach to talking about stewardship and money and look at it from the perspective of Psalm 56. And in that psalm, David says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." And so please notice here what David doesn't say. He never says, when I'm afraid, I'm going to pretend that I'm not afraid. And he also doesn't say, when I am afraid, I'll just sooner or later figure it all out. What he says is that when I'm afraid, I will trust God. And that is really what stewardship is all about. When it gets right down to it, stewardship isn't first about money. Stewardship is about trust. We read in that passage from Genesis 14 how Abram has just experienced this extraordinary victory. He's gone to battle. He's rescued his nephew Lot. He's defeated powerful kings in the process, and he's coming home with all kinds of possessions and wealth that he's taken from those defeated armies. When all of a sudden he encounters Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the text says, priest of God Most High. Now, one of these days, we will do a deep dive into this really mysterious character, Melchizedek, because he's a great character. But for now, I just want you to remember and just know that Melchizedek blesses Abram, and in this story, Abram responds. He responds by giving him a tenth of everything. And I want you to know that this is the very first explicit mention of tithes in Scripture. And it just happens to come in the very first book of the Bible. So it must be important, right? And by the way, that's what that word tithe means. It literally means a tenth, 10%. Now, I think we need to be a little careful here, too. Christians, sometimes we talk as though tithing was simply Old Testament law given for those Israelites who are living under the Mosaic covenant. But notice, please, here that Abram lived over 400 years before Moses was even given the law. And so by giving Melchizedek a tenth of everything, Abram, he's performing an act of worship before the law was even given. So the question then for us becomes, how should we, as New Testament Christians living under the grace we receive through Christ, how should we then understand this idea of tithing and this practice of first fruits giving? Well, one thing is for sure. Tithing isn't a price that we pay God for blessing. And it certainly isn't a way of buying God's favor. But this doesn't mean that this practice of tithing and first fruits giving has nothing to do with us as Christians. Quite the opposite is true. That practice of giving God a first and a significant portion of what he's already entrusted to us, that is affirmed all through Scripture. And Jesus himself affirms it. And all we need to do is look at that gospel lesson, right? In this lesson, Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees because they were meticulously tithing even things like spices from their herb garden, things like cumin and mint and dill, all the while that they're neglecting the more important things like justice and mercy and faith. But notice what Jesus says. He's really explicit about this. He says, yes, you should tithe. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And of course, here he's talking about those things like faith and justice and mercy. That's all important. And in this passage, Jesus isn't condemning tithing at all. What he's doing is he's condemning tithing, all right, if you're doing it without a heart for God. And I think that's an important distinction for us to make. And so then the question isn't really, am I giving 10%? The deeper question for us is, does my giving demonstrate that I trust God? And here's where I think Psalm 56 gives us the key. And it's at the very heart of stewardship. David says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. And so just think for a minute, what fear does to us. Fear makes us hold on, right? Fear says you better keep what you have because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Fear says be careful. You may not have enough. You know, when we're living in fear, we're always concerned about what might be coming at us down the road. Fear says you need to take care of yourself because no one else will. And I'll grant you that sometimes this fear is understandable. After all, most of us are old enough, we've lived through times of really serious inflation. We've seen markets rise and fall. It's a thing. We've watched how medical expenses have increased exorbitantly. We have all experienced unexpected expenses and unexpected circumstances. And so sometimes, yes, our fear, our greatest fear is, are we just going to have enough? But deep down, what this really means is that our true greatest fear is that I'm just not going to be secure. And this is where Psalm 56 kicks in. David says, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. And so Christian stewardship, it turns out that it ends up being one of the ways that we can answer the question, do I really believe that my security comes from God? Because on Sunday, sitting in the pew, it's easy enough to say, I trust God. But then on Monday, when you're sitting down paying the bills, it becomes a little more difficult. Here in church, it's easy to say God is my provider. It's much harder to live the rest of the week like he really is. And as we sing today, it's pretty easy to say, I will put my trust in you. And it's much, much harder to say, Lord, take the first portion of what you've given to me. That, folks, is why I think that giving is truly an act of worship. I want to make one thing very clear. This idea of first fruits giving and tithing, it really isn't about that 10% figure. After all, the New Testament doesn't give Christians some kind of a legalistic command that says every Christian must give exactly 10% or somehow God's going to be angry with you. That's just not the case. We know that we're saved by grace through faith, not by the percentage of income that we give. And so for us, the gospel isn't give God 10% and he'll bless you and save you. No, for us, the gospel is this, that God has already given us everything in Christ Jesus. And so we respond to his grace with our lives. And I guess this is just a completely different motivation. Instead of asking ourselves, how little can I give and still remain faithful, we can ask, how can I use what God has already entrusted to me for his honor? So then the question remains, why all the fuss then about this idea of first fruits tithing? And for me, the clear answer is this. For centuries, giving that 10% figure has been the biblical standard that existed well before the law. And that has remained a valuable practice for us Christians because it really teaches us to put our trust in God. It helps us make generosity intentional rather than just accidental. And it helps remind us that everything we have ultimately comes from God. And perhaps most important of all, first fruits giving puts our trust to the test. When we give God the first portion, were actually saying, God, I just trust you with the rest. When we read that second lesson, Paul is telling us that this is exactly what's going on with the Macedonian Christians. Did you catch this? The text says that they pleaded with Paul to take their sacrificial cash gift to the church in Jerusalem. And in this remarkable passage, Paul is letting believers in this very rich city of Corinth that he's writing to, how their counterparts in poor Macedonia stepped way out of their comfort level when it came to their giving. Paul writes, he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. He goes on to say that their giving exceeded his expectations. In fact, it turns out that they gave even beyond their ability. And I would submit to you folks that that is trust in action. So let me ask you a hard question. What does your giving say about your level of trust? Little thought experiment. If someone looked at your checkbook, your credit card statements, your bank account, and then factored in your charitable giving, what would they conclude about what you really care about and about where you put your trust? I'm not asking this in order to try to shame anyone. That's not the point. I'm just asking this because Jesus understands, as he says in Luke chapter 12, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Jesus knows how money can become our master, and he tells us point blank that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and money at the same time. And so Jesus wants to be our Lord, and one of the ways that we break the power that money can have over us is by learning to give. And so when we give, especially when we give sacrificially, we remind ourselves, money is something I have. It's not something I serve. When we give like that, we remind ourselves, my security isn't in my bank account. My real security is in God. And when we give first, we remind ourselves that really everything that I have ultimately comes from God, and that I will trust God to continue to provide for me. And then one step down the road, something even bigger happens when we give for the ministry of the church. When we do that, we're engaged in something even bigger. We're participating then in our God-given mission. Through our donations, we're helping proclaim the gospel. We're supporting worship in this place. We're teaching children. We're caring people for both their physical needs and their spiritual needs. In this one act, this is our way of loving God, loving others, and making disciples. And that makes giving an act of worship for us. So what's our next step? Perhaps you're already tithing, and if that's the case, God bless you. Keep it going. Not because you're under any sort of legal obligation to do that, but because you've already discovered the joy of trusting God. And so what you might do is consider giving something more than 10%. Or maybe start giving a little more of your time or your talent or your abilities. Perhaps you're not yet giving 10%. And so don't take this as condemnation. That's not the case. But if you're not at that level yet, maybe it's time to ask God what faithful, intentional generosity looks like for you. And I would just tell you that making progress and moving towards a goal, that's one of the marks of discipleship. And so today, maybe you're also one of those folks that have really never thought much about giving proportionally. And so maybe today is the time to start that process. And you can start by asking God in prayer, what percentage of money should I be giving? And again, here, what's important isn't the amount. The amount isn't the important part. Trust is the important part. And so my encouragement to you today is just to start somewhere. Make it intentional. And make it first rather than last. Don't wait to see what's left over at the end of the month. And maybe pray about asking God to help you increase that amount as God enables you to do that. Remember that the goal isn't to hit some sort of a magic number. The goal through our giving is to develop a trusting heart. In our lessons, Abram gave a tenth because he recognized that the victory that he'd experienced ultimately belonged to God. Everything that he owned had been entrusted to him by the Lord. In the Psalm, David said, "When I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you." And in that second lesson, Paul encourages us to give sacrificially, like the Macedonians. And then in that gospel lesson, Jesus reminds us that our treasure and our heart are connected. And so perhaps the most important stewardship question isn't really, how much should I give? Perhaps the better question for us is, at this point in my life, how much do I trust God? Because eventually those two questions sort of come together. When we trust God, we can give. And the more we give, the more we find that we're trusting God. And when we place our resources in God's hands, we discover something truly wonderful. We discover that we don't become poorer. We become freer. And so let this be our prayer today. Lord, everything I have comes from you. Forgive me when fear causes me to cling too tightly to what you've entrusted to me. Teach me to trust you. Teach me to give generously. Teach me to put you first and use what I give you for your kingdom, for your church, and for your mission in the world. When I'm afraid, Lord, teach me to trust in you. Amen.